Hello and welcome to One Team in Wales, the podcast by Taff and Daff, where we look back at Glamorgan's most recent fixtures and look ahead to their upcoming ones with me, Blake Bint, and Alid Hopkins, as ever, is alongside me as well. And it's Metrobank Fever. We did our T20 Blast review last week, and since then there's been three Metrobank games for Glamorgan to varied success, it's fair to say. So, Alid, welcome. And just tell me, one day cup before we get into the results and the ups and downs, how nice it to have this competition back.
Yeah, I'm loving it so far this year. Obviously the two games last week were down at Neath, which is where I live, so nice and easy for me. Great to have local cricket to me. And I think I really thoroughly enjoyed the 2 days. There was a brilliant crowd there for both days. There were two really good games, and it was just what I think it was just what everything this competition is about. It gives the chance for people who live further west who can't get to Cardiff necessarily to come and watch Glamorgan. You get a batch of people, a new perspective perhaps as well. And obviously, like, players so close to the boundary. It was great to see, so many kids there and enjoying the day across the 2 days. I love this competition.
Yeah, I suppose it's great to have someone like you here because it's that you are someone it would appeal to on a personal level. You know, as someone who lived in Cardiff for the season last year, obviously I had the luxury of it being 10 minutes around the corner from where I was living at Sapphire Gardens, and then when I did have to go to Neath, I was almost like grumbling at the fact because I wasn't 10 minutes away. But you know, this is how fans from the West kind of feel all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy to get behind Glamorgan, obviously, because they're the only Welsh county. So if you're Welsh, you naturally get behind Glamorgan. But I think sometimes people take that for granted if they don't live near Cardiff, if they don't live near Glamorganshire as well. I know in previous years that the Glamorgan have played games in North Wales, and I think the women are playing up there next week or this week, sorry. As well, so they're trying to extend it to the whole of Wales. But I think sometimes, we're living on the sort of M4 corridor, we forget and we take for granted how easy it is to get to Cardiff or whatever. But it's not as easy as that for everyone. And it's great to have them down further west and to give those people who might not otherwise get the chance to come and watch.
Well, unfortunately, the games outside of Cardiff are now over. So, those fans that are listening will have to make the trek to Cardiff, unfortunately, if they're not from there. But it was, as you said, great to see so many down at Neath and nice to see an outground that looks full because it's Sapphire Gardens that can often be the downfall of a decent sized international ground, can often look relatively empty even when there's 5,000 there. So, I don't know how many was at Neath, but I'd estimate in the kind of 1 to 2,000 region, obviously looked packed out, which is really good to see. If we look at the three results that have been, so the opener at Neath against Sussex, 295 for 8, Glamorgan scored batting first, winning by 12 runs after recovering from 46 for 4 or 54 for 5. With centuries from Jack Cope-Bell and Alex Horton making it a record sixth wicket partnership for Glamorgan in List A cricket. They put on 240, the third highest partnership by a Glamorgan pair in List A cricket as well. So basically, essentially win them the game, Jack Cope-Bell and Alex Horton. And then against Yorkshire on Friday, a thriller, slightly lower scoring, 186 all out. Glamorgan were led by Byron with 68, and then Yorkshire got it 8 down. So Glamorgan were still very much in the contest. Jamie McElroy, pick of the bowlers on that occasion, 2 for 23 from 9.4 overs. And then the one that probably needs the most attention, but with little joy, because 66 all out in a pretty sorry state of affairs. At Radlett against Middlesex, where they lost by 8 wickets there. Although there are positives of that game that we do want to talk about as well. So, I don't want to dwell on results too much in this, even though we have heard from players that and coaches that this is a competition where they are trying to win games. It's not just a developmental point of view, which you might have thought it would be with five players missing at the 100. But don't want to focus on the results too much because the individuals are what's the exciting or slightly concerning thing. So I guess we start with Jack Hope-Bell and Alex Horton last Wednesday. That was just magnificent to watch.
Yeah, absolutely superb. I mean, Jack Hope-Bell has been somebody who's been on our radar since the start of the season, performing really well in the twos, and obviously got the call up with the England development side, the under 19s, on with that sort of tour in preparation for that tour with the under 19s. So obviously getting some external recognition as well. And it was somebody that I was really looking forward to watching for the first time in the first team. And you know, that was happened to be my first time watching Jack Hope-Bell in the flesh, and he goes and makes 123. I mean, it was an amazing sort of start for my viewership of him anyway, and many Glamorgan fans, I'm sure, who would have been watching him for the first time. Just an amazing innings. Alex Horton as well, a player we've talked about quite a lot on here, where we've struggled to sort of have much confidence in his ability to step up into first team cricket last year and this year as well. But you know, when he really needed to make a big stamp, he did that on Wednesday, and I thought the two of them played magnificently well. I was so impressed with the way Jack Hope-Bell particularly played off the back foot. I thought he played magnificently well. Once he sort of worked out the pitch, he worked out where the Sussex bowlers were sort of they'd figured out the length by the time he'd got in. They'd figured out that sort of slightly good length, slightly back of a length sometimes on that pitch. And I thought Jack Hope-Bell you know, learned that very quickly, and then learned he could play it off the back foot. And I think that was probably one of the strengths of his game. And I love the way he just played within himself. He's not the biggest of players. He's not the biggest of guys. He's not going to have natural power. But what he did do was play his hands close to the body, extend his arms through the shot, and really throw all of his weight behind the shot. Lovely balance as well. And once the ball was through the infield, it was away to the boundary. It's all he needed to do. He didn't try and hit it too hard. And then I thought Alex Horton, you know, when he came in to that scenario, what was it, 50, 52 for four, 52 for five or something at that stage, with, you know, a young lad on debut at the other end. I thought Alex Horton, when Hope-Bell got bogged down a little bit with a few dot balls here and there, Alex Horton, once he got on strike, was able to accelerate it again and take the pressure off. He seemed to show that sort of T20 style or T20 prowess when Glamorgan had faced a few dot balls, and just took the pressure off with a boundary or two, or worked a two or a three somewhere, and they complemented each other really well. But yeah, really, really quality innings, great to watch, and it won Glamorgan the game in the end.
Yeah, I was going to say just a couple of things that you mentioned. I was going to pick up on. Hope-Bell just looks straight out the coaching manual, doesn't he? He's very correct in his technique, and you could tell he knows his game in the shots he was playing, and the value he got for his shots, as you said. Obviously, with the weather as it is, we're questioning if it's ever going to rain again. It's meaning it's good for batters to get it through. The infield to get their runs. And Alex Horton, I can't remember the exact score he was on, but I want to say he was on around 30 from 70 balls, which, given the scenario, was perfect. But it was something I would have been really questioning whether Alex Horton was capable of. But he finished with a strike rate above 100. It was almost mirrored Hope-Bell's innings. I think he was 119 balls for his 121. They had almost identical innings, but in almost two different styles. Hope-Bell was very consistent all the way through, accelerated slightly towards the end, but Horton went really kind of cautiously. It was, I wouldn't even say in his shell, just very cautious, and then managed to accelerate towards the end and played a sensational innings. And to be less than 20 runs off the Glamorgan record set by Hugh Morris and Matt Maynard, I think was kind of a testament to how good the innings was, although we're probably quite grateful that they didn't take the record off the two Glamorgan legends. But for a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old to do that was pretty sensational. And then with the ball, Dan Douthwaite 4 for led the way when some of the others struggled. Tim had a really good spell. Tim van der Gucht and 1 for 21 that probably would have gone understated, but it did make for a really good game and one they won by 12 runs in the end. Just did the important things when they did.
Yeah, and Dan Douthwaite, I thought, was, after coming in after a fairly ordinary T20 campaign by his standards. He's a white ball cricketer, as we know. And I thought, in a pretty inexperienced side, he took key wickets at key times, which, halted Sussex. They got a bit of momentum. I think it was Finn Hudson-Prentice and I forget, you're going to have to remind me who the other batter was in with the big
Oh,
partnership.
Jack
Jack
Carson.
Carson, the captain, yeah, of course. And he was able to break through that partnership, and that really felt then like the turning point in the game. That's what Dan Douthwaite does. He's a wicket taker. He'll go for runs occasionally. And we spoke on commentary about, he's a bowler who will be experimental. He'll try and bowl a different type of delivery every ball, and not every time it's going to come off. Sometimes he is going to get it wrong and he's going to go for runs, but he also with that is going to take wickets, and that's what he was needed to do at that time. I thought, Tim kept it very tight and very economical. What was it, 1 for 21 in the end off his 10, so just over two and overs, a fantastic economy rate in that competition. I think Jimmy McIlroy did really well as well. And Romano Franco, struggled at times, got hit around a little bit, but came back really well. And he needed somebody like Douthwaite, and Van der Hoeten to really tie up one end and put the pressure, on the Sussex batters and just take the pressure off him a little bit. And I thought, the bowling attack, they went with five bowlers. Andy Govan had to back all five of them, including himself, to bowl all five because there was no real recognized sixth bowler in that attack. And with the game getting closer and closer, he couldn't really risk a part-timer taking any overs. So it was a big call and he had to manage that well. And I thought the bowlers really complemented each other, especially Douthwaite, being one of the experienced members in that team, taking key wickets at key times.
Yeah, I think the timing actually of Gorvin's captaincy decisions were really impressive, given it was his first game as captain. Obviously, he's naturally done it in the second 11 as he was coming through, as tends to be the way now. There's no kind of set second 11 captain. It just rotates between those players that are contracted that are in that mould. But the way he managed Romano Franco in particular, I thought was really good when Carson and Hudson-Prentice got after him, and then he came back, got Hudson-Prentice out, and Carson was then left to do a lot of work on his own. And Franco was kind of a big part of that. And when Toby Munt came in eventually, and who batted really well with Carson, he was still able to keep the runs down in that second spell, because as you say, there was no real sixth bowler. Jack Hope-Bell has bowled it quite a little bit for club and for the second 11, but on debut, it would have been a big risk to throw him the ball as another youngster. So that was a good start to Glamorgan's campaign. And as we said, it was Jack Hope-Bell and Alex Horton who mainly led the way in that 12-run win over Sussex. And we can hear from Alex Horton, who spoke to me after the game.
I had to buy my time. Obviously, Chris Cook's a hell of a player, so it's been good to work on my game for the last 6 years, and then just to come out and do that shows the hard work pays off, so it was really nice. And I love the club, and being here for such a long time has been a pleasure.
Of course, as a Welsh lad, obviously you would have, say, loved the club, obviously growing up through the club all this time. And when you say just about biding your time, competition places, it must be a tough thing to, be waiting in the wings.
Yeah, it is tough, but like I said, when the boys are doing well and you're doing well, it's like we are one club. We don't see it as two teams. So yeah, no, obviously it is. It's nice to play in the first team, but it's also you have to earn your way into it. So yeah, it's good.
And in terms of like last year, you did play in the Blast a bit more. Had a bit of a kind of a free hit at that. Less of that this year. So is this the competition you're really trying to like set your kind of precedent?
Yeah, obviously nice start today, but I think for me this competition is just like getting my foot in the door and showing everyone what I can do.
And I think at one stage you were 30 off 70 balls, which isn't what we've seen from you really, because we've seen you so much in the white ball format. How did it feel having to play slightly differently?
Me and Gores were chatting before I go out, and he was just like, don't look at the scoreboard, don't matter how many you get, just be the way Jack at the 40th over. And like, it was nice to switch roles and show that I can do that as well, instead of just coming out and whacking it. So yeah, it was good.
Now, I don't think there's too much to say about the Yorkshire game. It was just a kind of standard close one-day game. I think the biggest thing to say is it was probably quite exciting to have Kuldeep Yadav down at Neath. But otherwise, I don't think there's too much performance to mention other than Eddie Byram's half-century. Alex Horton made 30 again, which is a nice follow-up from his big 100. And the bowlers are kind of the reliable figures that you expect to see. So looking at Middlesex, I mean, where to start would be the question. I think personally, this Glamorgan side were always going to have a bit of a hammering in them. It's a very young batting lineup in particular. And if they can't control the game with the ball, I always sensed there was going to be this kind of game would go against them. 66 all out is very drastic, but they did show signs of it potentially happening even in the first game at 54 for 5. But yeah, I mean, how do you even assess this?
Oh, it's a disaster. I think even, yeah, we can dress it up as this a young side, as an inexperienced side, but to go from, you know, the Yorkshire game, I thought, even though Glamorgan lost, there was a lot of positives from that game. I thought Yorkshire brought down a really strong team. There were a lot of players in that team that started the first championship game of the season against Glamorgan. And when you add in Kuldeep Yadav as well, it was a really strong Yorkshire team. And speaking to their media guys, it's a competition that they're really targeting this year to take seriously. So I thought, you know, even though Glamorgan lost, there was a lot of positives to take from that. And I walked away from that game going, well, we're still in good shape. But after Sunday, that it's a serious, serious stab really in the chest of the confidence of this side, and obviously a young side as well. It just can't happen, you know. And we have spoken about this, that this Glamorgan side does do things by extremes at times, whether that's, you know, games coming down to the last over, last ball, or Chris Cook having to come in and play an absolute blinding knock out of nowhere to win a game, to, you know, a complete collapse against Middlesex, who, you know, in fairness to them, have started this competition really well. And I think, was it Dakarius who just ripped through the Glamorgan lineup? But it's just having gone from two really positive games, it's just a real nightmare. Even if Glamorgan had lost that game and they'd gone down, you know, in a fight similar to Yorkshire, you could go, okay, well, it's a young side, that they're taking stuff from it. Winning might not be the top priority right now, but you can't lose a game like that. You can't lose. I think it's six ducks out of the 11, five or six ducks, you know, and Alex Horton is one of them, having, you know, earlier that week made 100 and then had a really tidy 30 in against a good bowling attack. And you just need those experienced guys to really dig in and show something in those games and protect the youngsters. And yeah, it just seems Glamorgan can't seem to get that production from those guys like Alex Horton, Eddie Byram, Andy Govan, Will Smale consistently enough, you know, those guys who have played enough first team cricket now to be the senior guys in this one day cup squad. And yeah, it's a real knockback, and they'll need to come back strongly tomorrow against a really, you know, strong Durham side.
Well, yeah, it was 6 wickets for 12 runs, the last 6 wickets that fell. So 54 for 4 to 66 all out is inexcusable, as you say. If we look at some of the reasons, I guess this could have happened. So it's since come out that the pitch was rated below standards, or whatever the words to that effect is. But, you know, Middlesex aren't going to be penalised for that. They still won the game by 8 wickets by chasing it down
Yeah, they only lost two
rather
wickets.
convincingly. Yeah, precisely. Eddie Byram's the only one who showed any resistance. Henry Hill got double figures. You could argue it was a longer tail than usual. Gorvin at 8, O'Riordan 9, Franco 10, Edwards 11. Obviously, little resistance. And as I said at the start, inexperience, you could argue there was always going to be one game where everything just went horribly wrong. The bowlers that Middlesex had, Toby Rowland-Jones is a test bowler or ex-test bowler. Navya Sharma's an exciting prospect, and Nathan Cornwell, well, he took 3 for 1, ripping up that very inexperienced tail. Not that there's too many excuses. As you said, they're professional cricketers that I think they've got to show some resistance. But it's tough. This is, as much as it's a competition where there's a lot of big names missing, there is still a lot of experienced cricketers there playing against a lot of inexperienced cricketers, and that showed on that occasion.
Yeah, I just think if Glamorgan are going to be the side that we think they can be, and the county rather, I should caveat that, in all competitions, not just in the county championship or the T20, in all competitions, if they want to be this top tier 100 county now with, obviously with the investment from the 100, Division One. This sort of factory of youngsters, the Invoke County, whatever you want to label them as, these kind of performances just can't happen. I don't care what team is out there. Glamorgan have got enough depth to not let this happen. And Middlesex are a county that, they've started this competition really well, and maybe this competition suits them because they've kind of just by proxy had to go with a lot of youngsters, just because of the kind of situation they're in. You mentioned Cornwell there. I think he's only 18 or 19. He played pretty much all of the T20 Blast, if I'm correct. And maybe this competition suits them because they've got naturally, young players who've been thrust into playing first team cricket anyway. Yes, the pitch might have suited them as well, but this just can't happen. If Glamorgan want to be a side that is taken seriously for, to be at the top of table, competing for cups, competing for, places in Division One and staying in Division One and being taken seriously as a county, this kind of stuff can't happen. And I think, they need to. It's going to be a big challenge of how they bounce back from this. To be fair, we've seen Glamorgan bounce back this season from disappointments really well, but that is, the more traditionally stronger first team. This is a different group to what we've got now. With a lot of inexperience, this is going to be a big test for Andy Gorvin and his captaincy.
Well, I think the disappointment lies in everything that we've said. I think it wouldn't be unfair to pick on a couple of individuals. Will Smail has not made a score. Dan Douthwaite, I think, although he's more of a bowling all-rounder, you'd like to think he would be looked to take extra responsibility with the bat. He's batting at 6, had a 20 against Yorkshire, but single figures otherwise. We are only 3 games in, should be said. We'd maybe be questioning Horton if he hadn't had a score and then scored 100 on his fourth game. That it could very much happen. Is there anyone you have been impressed by? Thomas Edwards took the only 2 wickets against Middlesex on debut, first look of him. And obviously we've mentioned Hope Bell and Horton.
Yeah, I think Hope Bell, obviously has to be the standout. I know he's had relatively low scores other than that 100, but in his third game or having played 3 games now for the first team, that it's super super encouraging. I think Eddie Byram deserves a lot of credit. Didn't quite get off to, got a decent start in the first game against Sussex. I thought he was batting really nicely and then got himself out with a poor shot. But then a good score against Yorkshire, and then in that disaster on Sunday, he was really the only senior player you could say showed a bit of fight and resilience. And I think he got 23 or something, 21 or 23 in that game. So I think he deserves a good bit of credit. You know, I think Andy Govan's captained fairly well. You know, some big decisions in that Sussex game with the game being so close. And I thought he rolled that out pretty well. Franco's, you know, done pretty well. Again, he went for some runs in that Sussex game, came back really well, took a wicket and sort of stopped the momentum in the Yorkshire game. I thought he bowled nicely, seemed to hit his rhythm. So there's plenty of encouraging signs, but I think if I were to pick two standout players, I think it's Jack Hope-Bell out of the youngsters for that unbelievable 100. And then out of the experienced crop, I'd say Eddie Byram's had a good start so far.
And with the concerns, I mean, I mentioned for me Smail and Douthwaite with the bat. I think with the ball is where we thought Glamorgan would be winning their games because of the experience they have. Van der Gucht played the first two games. He didn't play the third one. I assume that is because they wanted to have a look at getting O'Riordan involved in the squad and then gave him his chance. Obviously, didn't go well against Middlesex, but it's very difficult to go well when they're chasing 68 without any fear. But the impression I get with this bowling attack is, you know, it's Andy Gorvin, it's even Van der Gucht with the white ball, Dan Douthwaite, young Romano Franco, Jamie McElroy was in the squad but now is injured, Zainul Hassan coming in. I don't sense a figure who's going to bowl you to victory like the Middlesex bowlers did. Like, you know, if you've got a Roland Jones in your team, you sense he's going to bowl you to victory in one game. Even with Douthwaite's spell against Sussex, I sensed that it wasn't just that won them the game. You were looking at Hope-Bell and Horton's innings that did it. I see that as a concern as well. For a lot of experience there, I don't sense there's oh, this team are going to roll someone out for 100 and then it's easy.
Yeah, I get that, and I think, you know, in the opening two games, rolling with five bowlers leaves you very limited as well. I know, you know, obviously Zane was unavailable because his partner was giving birth, so that's a life event that, you know, happens once in a blue moon, and he's back for this game in Durham. So hopefully that gives you another bowling option there, a sixth bowling option. Obviously Leonard and Norton are injured as well, so that limits you even further. So I think the five bowlers was probably not out of choice from Glamorgan. I think it was out of just purely injuries and obviously Zane being away at the birth of his child. But I do agree, and I think that Sussex game is probably the blueprint that Glamorgan need to go with, where you've got a figure like Dan Douthwaite who's going to take a few more risks. He might get hit for a few more runs, but he's going to be a strike bowler. He's going to be able to take wickets. And then you've got a sort of metronomic Tim van der Hoeten or Eddie by oh sorry Andy Gorvin at the other end, who's just keeping that economy rate down and just keeping scoring pressure on the other team. And then, you know, you can sprinkle in your Francos and maybe even Tom Edwards now, who did well on Sunday, in, you know, a losing effort. So I think you need your Dan Douthwaites to be your strike bowlers in this competition, and then you need your metronomic sort of you know, economy rate bowlers like Tim. Yeah, out of necessity might need to play Tim. I know we don't love that. We'd rather save him for the County Championship, and he's obviously more effective as a red ball bowler. But with the current sort of injury, I wouldn't say crisis, but with Leonard and Norton out, your hand might be forced slightly with that. Can Zane come in and play that role? Maybe, but he's not a frontline bowler. He's an all rounder. So I think it's a difficult conundrum that, you know, Dave Harrison and Andy Gorvan have to measure. But I think you do need that sort of strike bowler who's going to take your wickets, and then a more economical bowler at the other end.
Well, Van der Gucht's appearance or non-appearance against Durham will probably be the sign of what Glamorgan are targeting with this competition going forward. And just on speaking of coaches, there will be a piece on Mark O'Leary, who I spoke to. He's Glamorgan assistant coach officially, but second 11 head coach mainly. on Taff and Daff site ahead of this Durham game. If we do look ahead to it briefly, it doesn't look like it's going to get any easier. A side who's won two games out of two. Ben Stokes obviously is the big headline, the fact he has been playing. But then just around that, they've got Alex Lees, Emilio Gay, Ollie Robinson, Colin Ackermann, who's Dutch international, Casey Aldridge, who's just come from Somerset, and another promising couple of youngsters in James Minto and Luke Robinson, bowlers. So, you know, you do look at the Glamorgan side in this competition. Yes, they're hampered by the 100, nowhere near as much as some other counties, it must be said. And then there's counties like Durham who you look at and you just go, blimey, you know, it doesn't feel like they've got anyone missing at all.
Yeah, and especially if, you know, Ben Stokes and Emilio Gay are going to play this entire tournament, you'd look at that Durham side and go, wow, they're one of the favorites for the title here. You know, you talk about Yorkshire bringing down a strong side on Friday, but I think, you know, this Durham side is possibly another level as well. Some of those other names you mentioned, Ackermann, Minto. I know Minto was kind of one of those fringe bowlers who could have played or could play more championship games. If Durham needed him to, which lucky Ben McKinney's not there as well. But yeah, it's a big challenge for Glamorgan. But at the end of the day, you know, we talk about them elevating themselves as a county in all competitions, and these are the type of games that they want to play. You know, these are the type of opposition that that they want to play against. They want, you know, these guys playing against the likes of Ben Stokes and Emilio Gay. And, you know, imagine if, you know, a Romano Franco can take the wicket of Emilio Gay or Ben Stokes, or a Jack Hope-Bell can hit Ben Stokes for a few boundaries. You know, the confidence that's going to give. And I you know, I think it's on a broader point. I think having Ben Stokes and Emilio Gay and those kind of players, Kuldeep Yadav for Yorkshire, playing in this competition as well, has just, for me, this competition has kind of felt a bit different this year. I think I read earlier that, you know, Yorkshire tweeted that tickets for their game against Durham on Friday at York are, you know, very, very high in demand, and you can only book in advance. They're not doing gate tickets, which is amazing. You know, you're gonna go down to a ground there, an outground, and watch Kuldeep Yadav against Ben Stokes. That's amazing. And I think, you know, with the 100 kind of hundreds, you know, being a little bit dissolute. You know, I was watching the Welsh Fire game the other day, and there were a lot of empty seats at the Utilita Bowl. And I just think if you're, you know, if you're a cricket fan and you're say you're in Harrogate or York, and you've got a choice of paying 50 odd quid to go and watch a team that's now called Leeds, when you're a Harrogate guy or a York guy, or you can go and watch Yorkshire, your county, for maybe 10, 15 quid, and Ben Stokes and Kuldeep Yadav are playing, and you can get close to the pitch and you can get close to that. I just think, you know, the one you talked about, One Day Cup fever earlier. I'm feeling it this year. I think it's people are starting to move back towards the more traditional forms of the game, and I think this competition has just been a new lease of life breathed into it with all that's happened with Stokes and Yadav now coming into it as well.
Well, whatever happens for Glamorgan, the One Day Cup is back and we are enjoying it. For Glamorgan, they've got Durham up next away and then two more away games to follow against Derbyshire at Repton School. So two back-to-back games at Outgrounds. The Durham one is at Gosforth. And then Glamorgan are at the Utilita Bowl next Wednesday against Hampshire before returning to Sophia Gardens to take on Essex next Friday. So we'll have a podcast sometime next week, potentially before the Hampshire game, potentially after the Hampshire game, prior to the Essex game. But we will be back, myself and Alid. Thank you for joining me. If you want to read more on Taff and Daff website, as I said, the Mark O'Leary interview talking about those youngsters and the second 11 and his role, that will be live on the site, as well as Alid's 5 points from the first three games we can take away. 66 all out last time round. Ben Stokes up next. Will the Glamorgan youngsters take fight or flight? We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.